Father, I thank you, as always, for the opportunity to gather together for fellowship in your name. Glory to God. It's a new day, and it's a new month, and we are so grateful. We thank you, Lord, this morning, as we share the word of God. We declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be. We receive the light, we receive the understanding this morning. And let the name of the Lord be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, I want to do a quick recap of yesterday. And also, I'm going to bring some additional info on one area that we talked about yesterday. The topic is Harvest of Joy Coming from Your Tears of Faith. Right away, we see there are many keywords in that topic. There's harvest, there's joy, there is tears, and then there is faith. And the subtopic that I gave yesterday was basically, you know, getting assist in prayer, you know, from faithful and trusted prayer partners. We looked at I didn't read the scriptures, I just alluded to the stories, you know, of, you know, a few situations where someone reached out for help in prayer for a situation that was at hand. There were even times that some of the kings of Judah that were more inclined towards the Lord would reach out to, you know, the prophet of their day and ask for prayer. Say, hey, you know, do this and do that. You know, the children have come to the birth, but there is no strength to bring forth. So help us, you know. And people do reach out, you know, for help at different times. You know, there's also reach out in ministry for help. We're going to be talking about that. Come over to Macedonia and help us. I mean, there's many places in the scriptures where this concept of, you know, working together with trusted partners, either in battle or in ministry or, you know, whatever, where it is there. And the Lord also showed us that example, you know, by himself did not go it alone. And even when he sent out his disciples, their training missions, it wasn't one by one. It was two by two. And so there is, you know, quite an understanding there. But the key topic is that through prayers, you know, and the prayers of faith, God will bring joy, finally. So the key text that we read yesterday was from Psalm 126. I will be reading, you know, some additional scriptures today, and I will be taking testimonies as well. So prepare your hearts to do that. But the key scripture that we read was Psalm 126. And I want to highlight one or two things in case anybody was not here yesterday. When the Lord turned a captivity, we were like them that dreamt. So I read that scripture two different ways yesterday. The prayer that says, turn again our captivity, O Lord, so that we can be like them that dream. You know, when the Lord shall have turned our captivity, then we will be like them that dream. Then will our mouth be filled with laughter, and our tongue shall be filled with singing. Then shall they say among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Indeed, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. You know, that's reading that psalm prophetically. You know, and then here's a prayer that come after that. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as it streams in the south. They that sow in tears. So this is where the tears of faith come in or come from. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You know, that's the basically where the title of this lesson came from. Your tears of faith will eventually result in a harvesting of joy. Reap means harvest. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Well, there are helpers with that weeping. You know, it's not just the weeping, it's the precious seed. And what's that precious seed? Is we using the word of God for that prayer and placing our faith in it. You know, that's what makes the prayer effective. It's not just the crying or the weeping. It's not that God is not touched by that. He is, but he is more inclined to respond to his word. Okay, you know, so when we pray the word of God, that's prophetic prayers. It's like, it's going to be, because God already said it, so you speak it back to him, or you speak it over the situation. That's prophetic prayers. And we know that God will answer. Many promises that God said that, you know, while we are, you know, yet speaking, the Lord said he will answer. While the word, you know, while the word is still in your mouth, the Lord said he will answer. He will give an answer of peace, generally. It's what we believe God will do. Isaiah 65 and verse 24 said, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Now, it becomes even more potent when you can get somebody in there with you. We read the promises of Jesus, a powerful promise in Matthew chapter 18, where he said, you know, whenever two of you shall agree on anything, that he will do it, because where two or three are gathered, he is in the midst. So if that's the case, then let's take advantage of that always. And the key thing is that I want to talk about a little more today is to just read a few scriptures on when it is good to call in help in prayer and not try to go it alone. You know, so the scripture says that two are better than one. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. In fact, we want to read that one right now, because this was, you know, in alignment with the subtitle I gave yesterday, calling in the cavalry. That's an idiom here in the United States that people use for when you need extra help. You know, they just use that. So here is a text that talks about that. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. They are labor together in prayers, and they are labor together in the ministry. They are labor together in anything. Yeah, two are better than one. I mean, you know, whatever one can do, two can do more or better. If one person can pray, you know, two of them can do even more. One can chase, or one can chase 1,000. Two can put to flight 10,000. So let's read it. If they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, because there's nobody to pick him up. You know, so again, two lie together have heat, but how can one have heat alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. So when you are fighting one-on-one, well, it may go either way. But when one of them gets help and double up on the other guy, chances are that, you know, you get an upper hand. And a threefold cord, that's you, your trusted prayer partner, and the Lord. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know, when they make cords that are used for pulling things, you know, you make three strands of it and weave them together like that. It's stronger than one strand, even stronger than two. You know, so there is strength, you know, strength when we come together. Now, this is not looking for vain help. Vain help will not work. Vain help is in reaching out to, you know, someone that is not of like faith, you know, or trusting in the arm of flesh. That's not what we're talking about here. You know, but when we can find someone of like faith, you know, then there are promises that God has given us that the answer will be quicker in coming. Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. You bind something, Jesus said, will be bound. And if two of you shall agree, Jesus said, he will do it. Because when two of you come together in his name, he will be that third person there. A threefold cord will not be broken. Jesus also, you know, knowing that principle and using it here. Two of you plus myself, that's Jesus. That makes three. You know, and he said, well, do it that way. So if we can find, you know, someone that believes, that's powerful. There's, you know, there's strength in numbers too. You know, when the numbers are, you know, on the side of the Lord, there's strength in numbers that way. There's encouragement for us to do that. Sometimes it's more effective when you can even get a powerful group that believes the same thing. There's a story in Acts chapter 12. You know, before the church realized it, Herod had killed James. And because he saw that that pleased the multitudes, you know, proceeded to grab Peter also, put him in there, expecting to bring him out in a few days and kill him, so that everybody else will rejoice again. But the church, this time around, they got wind of that, and they gathered together to pray. You know, and they were constantly in prayer. It wasn't just one person. It was their fellowship group, you know, where they normally used to meet. They all gathered together, and they were praying, you know, for Peter. And it was a powerful response that God sent. Powerful response. Sent an angel of the Lord to deliver Peter from the hand of Herod. You know, listen to this. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Acts 12. And verse 5. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the prison the prison. The angel of the Lord then came upon him, and the light shined around the prison, And he smote Peter on his side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Guard thyself and bind up thy sandals." And he did. And he said, "You know, put your garment around thee and follow me." And he was like, you have to tell him everything, because the man was in a daze. He didn't know what was going on. And he followed him and did not even know that what was happening was real. He thought it was in a vision. But when they went past the guards, you know, the guards, deep sleep had fallen on them. First, second ward, they came to the iron gate. You know, the thing opened to them of its own accord, and it went through. And so forth, the angel then left. And Peter now realized that this was not just a vision. The Lord has sent his angel to deliver me. And they went to the place where people were gathered. See, powerful, powerful prayer together. And, you know, I guarantee you, if the church would have prayed in the case of James, maybe that would have been the same result. But it happened quickly. Nobody knew about it. But this time around, they said, well, once bitten, twice shy. We're not going to let this happen to us again. And they prayed together like that. And the Lord answered them prayer. You know, I read the story yesterday of Moses, Joshua, Aaron and Hur. And how that, remember how that the Bible says, you know, confirm the weak hands and strengthen the feeble knees. Well, that's exactly what Aaron and Hur did for Moses. Moses's role in the battle was to be praying while Joshua and his troops were fighting the battle below. He said, "I'm going to go up to the hill of God and I'm going to be praying for you while you guys are fighting." And he was doing that. And while his hands were lifted up in prayer, we saw that, you know, Joshua was winning the fight down below. But something strange began to happen. They began to lose, you know, the fight as, you know, Moses' hands were heavy and he couldn't keep his hands up again. Now, this is a powerful, lesson in bringing in help for prayer. Those tears of faith, they need help. Helping together by praying for us, Paul would say in many places. And this story is found in Exodus chapter 17. When Moses' arms grew tired, well, Joshua began to lose the battle against the Amalekites. But, you know, Aaron and Hur recognized what was going on. So they were going to do two things to help out. Well, they're going to give strength to the feeble knees. Moses had been standing up, you know, for so long, and his knees were now, you know, crumbling under him. So they put a stone or a stool or something for Moses to sit down. That's the number one thing. You know, Moses could not think of that at the moment. And he didn't want to, you know, stop his prayer, but his prayer had become weakened because he was going it alone. Now, you know, his partners and helpers came in there, gave him something to sit down. That strengthened the knees. That's number one. Then number two, the hands that are hanging down, they realized that when his hands were up, something good was happening. So each of them now held up the arms of Moses. Aaron held up the one. Hur held up the other. And then, you know, victory went to Joshua again. You know, powerful story that everybody should read in Exodus chapter 17. You should read that story. This is the background of the lesson of, look, don't go alone. You can't do it. Also yesterday we looked at the next chapter. I didn't really read it. I just told the story. But in the next chapter, Exodus 18, this same Moses would get help again, but by instruction. This time it wasn't prayer that he was doing. Well, maybe pray for some of the people, I don't know. But he was judging the people, we were told. He sat down and judged the people all day long. And everybody brought their matters to him, small and great. And even people who had questions about the law and different things. You know, well, maybe not so much the law at that time, but had questions about something, you know. And they would come to Moses and he would stay with them all day long. And his father-in-law, Jethro, noticed this thing. And he said unto Moses, you know, this thing that you do is not good. You know, because why? Let's read this. Exodus 18 and verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning till the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, saw all that he did unto the people, he said unto Moses, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto night or evening? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, well, because the people come to me to inquire of God. And when they have a matter also, they come to me, and I judge between one and the other. And I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. He said, yeah, you're doing all that. So Jethro said to him, this thing that you are doing is not good. Why? Because you're doing it alone. You're trying to do this thing alone. Thou will surely wear away both thou and these people that are with you. But this thing is too heavy for you. It's another powerful lesson. Thou art not able to perform it by thyself alone. This is sound wisdom coming from somebody to this mighty prophet. Yeah. He said, look, hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel. That's right. And God shall be with thee. Now be thou for the people toward God, you know, so anything that they need concerning God and so on, you know, bring their causes to God, pray over them, teach them commandments and ordinances of God and so forth. Show them the way that they must walk in and the work that they must do. You do all that. You be like the priest to them. Show them the way of God, you know. And moreover, you know, look, select some people, able men that fear God, men of truth, that hate covetousness. Place them over three people to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens, and divide up the people like that. Let those leaders that you have selected judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter, though, they shall bring unto thee, but those smaller things they shall judge, so that it will be easier for thyself. And thou shalt not bear this burden alone, but they will bear the burden with you. Powerful stuff. You know, now, if thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so. In other words, the man respected Moses. I knew that he can hear from God. Say, look, you know, you check it out. If this counsel that I giving you be sound counsel, check it out and see if the Lord would give you the go ahead. Well, if you do it this way and so forth, then thou shalt be able to endure. And all these people shall go to their own place in peace. Powerful advice. Ladies and gentlemen, these things are in the scriptures for our lessons. Don't go it alone, and don't try to go it alone when you are bearing these tears of faith for a long time. And some people just keep these burdens to themselves. And, well, you can accelerate the response from God when you follow these principles that we are showing here today. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that the man said. And Moses chose able men out of Israel, made them heads over their people, thousands, hundreds, fifties, tens, just like the man advised him. And those people judged the crowd at all seasons, but they brought the hard cases to Moses. But every matter that was smaller, they judged by themselves. You know? So, Moses had help. And he got some rest. You know, we told other stories like that yesterday. Here's another one. I just want to recap this for those who might not have been here. The story that was in Daniel. Powerful. When the king said, if you guys don't tell me my dream, I'm going to kill all you wise men. And they told the king, nobody asks, you know, wise men like this. You tell us the dream and we'll tell you. And the king would hear none of it. So, you know, when it was known then, therefore, noised abroad that all the wise men must be killed, Daniel also heard about it, you know. So they sought to kill him and his fellows along with the wise men, because they were grouped with them. So Moses answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard. I'm now reading Daniel 2 and verse 14, which was gone forth to slay the wise men. He answered and said, you know, why is the decree so hasty from the king? And Arioch made known the matter to Daniel. So Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time. And I will show the king the interpretation. Well, that was a bold step. And well, the king listened to him because, you know, he kind of liked Daniel anyway. So, you know, he said, so he went to his house. But what did Daniel do? Did Daniel go to his house to pray by himself? Of course not. He called in the cavalry. He called in his friends, you know, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. They were later called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this matter, that Daniel and his fellows should not be, you know, perish, and so forth. And because of the prayers together of now four people instead of one, the God of heaven answered. And he did something for Daniel that nobody ever known could have been done. Never heard of such a thing, that somebody would dream another person's dream all over and then be able to tell, say, if just tell us the dream, or we'll tell you the interpretation. Why are you asking us to tell us your dream? You were the one that dreamt it. How can we know it? He said, well, if you don't tell me, I'm going to kill all of you. You know, have all of you killed. Well, Daniel dreamt Nebuchadnezzar's dream all over because he got prayer helpers to stand with him. That's right. You know, these are powerful stories in the Bible, you know, and the emphasis today, sort of like also was yesterday, is look, don't go eat alone. Don't try to do it alone. Always try to get some people to help, you know, help with you in prayers. Now, the classic saying of Esther, if I perish, I perish. Well, that was also the same kind of thing. In Esther chapter 4, there was a need, a prayer need that her uncle had brought to her. Look, somebody is scheming to have us all killed. You go into the king and ask for mercy to overturn this thing. And Esther said, I can't unless the king calls me. Otherwise, that's suicide. You know, you go to the king when he didn't call you, he'll have you killed. Uncle said, well, don't think that your being in the palace is an escape. You are part of us. And you do this thing. But perhaps God has put you there for such a time as this. And if you don't do it, God's going to raise somebody else up and you will be ashamed. So you said, okay, all right, you know, but here's what I need. I need help. Glory to God. You know, she called all her maidens that were assigned to her, making her beautiful and all that for the king. Said, look, nobody gonna eat for 3 days. Told her uncle, you gather all the people, as many as you can. Let them fast and pray for me for 3 days. And I myself will do the same. Then I will go in before the king. And if I perish, I perish. But you all pray for me. You know, she called in the cavalry again. You know, and of course, you know, before she even got there, the Lord already put that liking and that favor in the king's heart. And she stood in the court. Her life was in the balances. If the king does not have pleasure in you for standing there, he's going to have you killed. Because you don't come to the king unless he summons for you. And that was their law in those days. But, you know, if he stretches out the scepter unto you, that scepter that he sets, you know, sends out to you, that's the branch of favor. And he did exactly that. Stretched out the scepter to her. She went there, touched it, laid her cause, and she had favor. But she didn't get it alone. There were people praying with her for 3 days. They don't eat anything. You know, that's how they did it. Praise the Lord. You know, this is how people get things done. Call for prayer help. The story that we read, here's some more stories that I didn't tell you yesterday, but here's is some more stories that we're going to, you know, mention. You know, in the story of Jonah, and God sent him to Nineveh to preach unto them, and he wouldn't at first because he actually didn't want God to save them, sadly. You know, when he finally did, though, you know, all his story with the whale that had swallowed him up and so forth, and people threw him overboard and all that. When he finally went and preached the thing like God commanded him, and he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, when they heard this word, all the people, by decree of the king, first to his nobles and then the nobles to all the people, he said, all of us, everybody, man and beast, herd and flock, let nothing, no one taste anything, no water, no feed, no food, no drink. Let not man or beast be covered, you know, I mean, let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let us cry mightily unto God. You can read all these things in Jonah chapter 3, you know, from verses 6 to 9 or so. And let everyone turn from his evil ways. The king could not do it alone. The king had to call everybody together for help. Prayers like these that we're going to have on April 4th is like this thing that we're talking about here. You can't go it alone. You know, you got to get help, people coming together to help. You know, scriptures give us instructions about this. Joel chapter 1, verse 14. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Now, that's not an assembly of one. That's an assembly of many. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. You know, that's how you do it. You get help in prayers. And when we have corporate prayer, that's even more than two. I mean, if one chases 1,000 and two puts to flight 10,000, just imagine what 20 or 40 or 50 people can do. And they gather together in prayer. That's powerful stuff. You know, but even if you don't have those crowds, in your personal life. It may not be always possible to have 40, 50 people praying for your problem. Get at least one more person. That's the example and instruction that Jesus gave. If any two of you, that's it, right there. You know, so get somebody else who believe the Lord with you. Praise the Lord. You know, Paul, the great apostle, was always asking for prayer. You know, pray for us, you know. Pray for us. Pray for us. He would always ask, and he would ask, you know, I would always ask the people for prayer that the word of God would not be bound. All in all his writings, always asked for prayer. He never tried to go it alone. You know, Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, without praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. Always asking the people to pray for us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 11. Always in all these places asking for prayer support. Then he told the people in Galatians chapter 6 verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens. That's also in prayer help. And also reaching out in physical help too. Don't try to go it alone in times of difficulty. I mean, the one that Moses was doing, you know, sitting there judging, carrying all the burden by himself, wasn't prayer necessarily. It was something he had to get done and he couldn't do it by himself. He needed help. At times where you also need help, praise the Lord. You know, and let us be encouraged to trust your prayer partner getting there with you. Praise the Lord. And there is discretion is needed when there is prayer being requested. Discretion means, I mean, this aspect of it, on a need to know basis. In other words, someone came to you with a need and they opened their heart towards you. That's for your ears only. It's not for you to go tell somebody else, not the other person's concern. Now, if they want a group prayer, they call for group prayer. But if they came to you, if you are that second person only that Jesus said, if any two of you, and then that's it. That's where the matter should end. You know, don't go tell it to somebody else because that's not the right thing to do. Discretion. Need to know. The other person doesn't need to know. Two of you can handle the matter. Now, sometimes it's a group call. It's a group prayer call. Then we come, we make the prayer request known to the whole group. And even then, discretion is still required. Anybody who was not in the group prayer doesn't need to know. They could have been there and then they would have known. You know, we got to use discretion. Praise the Lord. But that apart, believing and trusting and prayer support, so powerful. It helps to get those tears of faith that have been, I mean, some, over some chronic issues and over things that have lingered, helps to get those things to be answered much more quickly. Praise the Lord. Now, what does the scripture mean about hands that hang down, you know, and knees that are feeble? We've already talked about that, you know, how we should confirm the hands that hang down and knees that are feeble. How do we do it? Well, let's read Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12. Let's see what the scripture commands about this. and why it's so important. We already told the story of Aaron and Hur, who did exactly that. But let's see, you know, this direct commandment here. Now, that was a story. We learned from this story. But let's see, you know, a direct commandment here. Now, wherefore he said, lift up the hands which hang down, you know, and the feeble knees, confirm them too, and make straight paths for you. How do you lift up the hands that hang down? Well, the person that is carrying the load probably cannot do it by themselves. They need help, as we have seen in that story of Moses, Aaron, and Hur. So that means, you know, let us help others. This instruction is for you to help. This is like Aaron, you know, even though Moses didn't call out for help, Aaron and Hur discerned that he needed help. And because they said that this man needs help, praise God. So we're going to go get in there and help him. Now, this instruction is much clearer when you read Isaiah chapter 35 from verses 3 to 5. Let's read it together. The instructions. This is how we're going to help people who have been tearing up in prayers, you know, for different things. Well, this is how we're going to get those prayers answered. We're going to get in there and help one another. Isaiah 35, you know, and verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart. You know, you get in there, you encourage them. Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come. Ha! Glory to God. So I'm saying to anybody that's been under a lot of pressure, burdens and different things going through for a long time, we're saying to you today, the Lord will come and he will save the day. Be encouraged. Let's help to lift up those hands that are weak. It's important to lift up holy hands. You know? Paul was writing to Timothy. He said, you know, lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. You know, it's a sign of, hey, Lord, carry me. You know how the little kids, when they walk towards the parent or the grandparent, they want to be carried, they lift up their arms. You know, that's it. You know, lift up holy hands. But sometimes when those holy hands get weakened, you need help. Come on in there. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8 urges us, lift up holy hands. You know, that's in surrendering the matter to the Lord. You know, and well, when your hands are weakened, somebody else needs to get in there and help. So, that's what I meant yesterday about calling in the cavalry and getting that extra help that's needed and not trying to go it alone. Even in nature, we see, if you watch those nature series, I love to watch them. If you watch those nature series, you'll see that when the deer are bundled together and the lion or the leopard or whoever is trying, whatever animal is trying to prey on them, prowling, getting ever so closer, he doesn't know which one to attack while they are together in a group. Just can't run there and attack everyone. So he's patiently waiting. Just like 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, your adversary, the devil, is looking for whom he may devour. Can't devour everybody, so he's waiting. He's saying, look, this lion or tiger is looking and say, I can't pounce on all of them. There are too many. So he waits patiently. And he waits patiently. And sure enough time passes, there's a stray animal that forgets to stay with a pack. I say it all the time because it's so real. It had so much impact on me anytime I see that. The stray one that forgets to stay with the pack, they leave the pack and just wander off. That one is dead meat. That's it. You know, this prowler will focus, zoom in on that. That's nature for you. And he's going to get it because he did not stay with the pack. You know, these exhortations are powerful in the scriptures, you know, for us to trust one another enough to pray together and to fellowship with one another. Not just here on this platform, but in your local churches as well. You know, we must do these things. Forsake not the assembly of one another together, as the manner of some is. They just forsake and they try to go it alone. You can't do it like that, ladies and gentlemen. You got to get help from your brethren. This is the way it works. The scripture commands us. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Don't forsake the assembly. Don't neglect it. Get together, strengthen one another. You know, there's always that encouragement. Jesus said to Peter, when thou art converted, said the devil has desired to sift you. I will have you as wheat. Or have you and sift you as wheat is sifted. I've seen it. But I have prayed for you. Wherefore, when you are converted, you also strengthen your brethren. Once you've gotten the victory, well, strengthen somebody else. You say, strengthen somebody else. You know, yeah, that's it. That's what Jesus wanted. That's how he wanted the story. You know, you can read this in Luke chapter 22 and verse 32. The devil has desired to sift you, but I prayed for you. You know, I prayed for you, Jesus said, that your faith will not fail. You also, when you are gotten the victory, well, strengthen your brethren. That's how you do it. The Lord showed me this in a parable some years ago. The kingdom of God is like unto this. I enjoy those parables. So he always shows me things like that. And it was like there's a whole bunch of people in a pit trying to climb out of the pit. You know, and there was a strong man at the top of the pit. You know, had muscles and everything, muscularly built. And he threw down a lifeline, ready to pull people out. But there was one instruction given. And everybody was scrambling to get the rope. And he said, no, there's an instruction. And the instruction was, you can only grab the rope with one hand. I'll pull you up. Don't worry about it. But with your other hand, you must reach out and pull somebody else to grab the rope. If, you know, because now the rope was not long enough for everybody, but it was long enough to get one or two persons. But, you know, they had to form like a human rope, a human chain. And you grab somebody, I'll grab you, you grab somebody else. You know, and if the person that was at the top or the first couple of people for which the rope could reach, would try to grab with two hands, then he would stop pulling. He said, no, that's not what I said. You know, I got to get everybody. So I got, you get a hold of the rope, one hand only. You reach out, grab the other person with the other hand. No one left behind. Oh my goodness. And I learned something that says, look, that's how you do it. You cannot, it's not about you alone. It's about your brother and your sister also. Bear ye one another's burden. You bear your own burdens, but you also bear the other person's burdens as well. Praise the Lord. Burdens in prayer, especially. So, let me get back to the lesson, the main, the two parts of this lesson. The main part is the promise of God, you know, to give you an answer of peace, to give you a harvest of joy over those prayers and those tears of faith that you have been having, because you are carrying precious seed. The precious seed is the word of God. Jesus said, the seed is the word of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 13. So that precious seed is the word. You find the word that you can latch onto with your prayers. That's a precious seed. You will come again with rejoicing. The harvest of joy is coming. But let's see if we can hasten that harvest of joy. That's the second part. You know, sometimes when you've been going it alone for so long and you're weary and you need help, there are those that are called to be prayer intercessors. The Lord will oftentimes show them what they need to pray about. It's not for you to go and tell the person or tell somebody. God's calling you to prayer, you know, and when he gives you a burden like that, he wants you to pray. When he wants you to pray, he wants you to, what God calls it, standing in the gap. We have it in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. It's a profound statement that the Lord put there, you know, for prayer intercessors. Who is it among you that will step up and stand in the gap for his brethren? Well, let that person know that they can save, you know, their brother or their sister from a multitude of sorrows. That's right. And you don't know the impact that the Lord will do. I mean, the impact that your standing in the gap can do. Ezekiel 22 and 30 says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. My goodness. You know, so how can God not find one? I mean, one time it was 10 that God could not find in Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham stood before the Lord and said, if you find 10, will you destroy the place? The Lord said, no, not even for 10. Okay. And Abraham went his way thinking that there will be 10 because Lot's family alone were 8. And now surely they must have at least converted 2 people to the way of the Lord. But no, could not find 10 people that would do it. And you know the end of that story. Didn't end well for that place. You know, the Lord wants us to stand in the gap, you know, to make up the hedge, you know. Stand in the gap and make up the hedge for the people and prayers for the people. That's what God wants us to do. One for another. And when you are helped in prayer, you turn around and help others as well. These are powerful instructions from the scriptures. Ezekiel 13 also talks about that in verse 5. You know, actually for some leaders that leave the people wounded like that, well, Ezekiel 13 calls them out. And God doesn't like it. He said, you know, prophets in the land, they're like foxes in the deserts. You know, what did fox do? Looking for who to prey on. Ye have not gone up into the gaps. That's Ezekiel 13 and 5. neither have you made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord, just like Moses was standing in the battle. And Aaron and Hur got in there with him. You know, and the Lord said, well, you've not made up this hedge. You have not stood in the gaps. You know, so making up the hedge, standing in the gaps, important. And, you know, sometimes it takes God to reveal it, but, you know, the responsibility is on you too. You know, you have that responsibility too. James chapter 5 talks about it. When you are going through, don't try to go through it alone by yourself. Call for the elders of the church. People hardly do that these days. You know, is any sick among you? This is God's prescription. James chapter 5 verse 14. Is anyone sick? Well, let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. If he shall even commit any sins, they shall be forgiven him. The Lord's total package. But you got to do it like the Lord said. So, it is important for us to always, you know, call for prayer when it is needed. You know, and sometimes it might be a cry to religious leaders or just your brethren in faith. Whichever way it is, God expects us to have backup in prayer. There's a story, you know, this text about children have come to the birth, but there is no strength to deliver. Well, that's like people have been praying. The prayer is not coming through. Well, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 37, we see this story about Rabshakeh and Sennacherib that came to chide Israel, Hezekiah and his people, and say, look, don't think that, you know, Hezekiah will save you or the Lord will save you. The gods of all these other nations have not saved them. We've wasted them. You know, surrender to us and it'll be well with you. And all that story. And they even wrote a letter, a threatening letter. But if you don't, we're going to lay you waste. So, you know, when Hezekiah heard it, he sent to the prophet Isaiah. Yeah, this is calling in the cavalry. He said to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 3, he sent a note or messengers to Isaiah to say to him, thus saith Hezekiah the king, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is no strength to bring forth. Now, we need help. It may be that the Lord thy God will hear the words of this Rabshakeh, which the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God. And we reprove the words which the Lord thy God have heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. That's how you call for prayer. You know, don't try to go it alone. Call for prayer. I mean, I can go on and on and on. There are so many stories like that in this Bible. Instructions, sometimes stories, sometimes instructions, you know, on, you know, for us to not try to do this thing alone. Praise the Lord. The same story you can find in 2 Kings chapter 19. Again, in verse 3. Same story exactly. They said to Isaiah from Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children have come to the birth, and there is not enough strength to bring forth. So, we call for prayer. Call upon the Lord for us. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, that's why we pray for one another. And yesterday, powerful prayer session in the room for one another. Today, I'm going to call for testimony. We need testimonies to the glory of God, of what God has done for us. The first quarter of 2026 has now come and gone. You know, it's gone now. We're now in the first day of the first month of the second quarter. What are those things and those victories that the Lord has done? And perhaps some of those victories came from, you know, help through prayer. Well, let's give the Lord the praise. Let's give the Lord the glory. But go with this lesson today that your prayers, you know, perhaps over the weeks, over the months, over the years, that you've been crying to the Lord, God is about to turn them into a harvest of joy, especially when that has been mingled with precious seed. The precious seed, like I said, is the word of God. Your faith in that word. You back that up. I mean, you back your prayers up with that. You speak back to God his words. It's a good thing to cry unto the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. You know, it said, I cried unto the Lord and the Lord heard me. You know, the psalmist would say, you know, said, I cried unto the Lord. The Lord heard me in my distress. You know, he said it in Psalm 120 verse 1. He said it, I cried unto God for his help. He said it in many other places. This poor man cried, he said, and the Lord heard him. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord. I mean, he was always saying that all over the Psalms. I sought the Lord and he heard me. Psalm 34, on and on and on. You know, it is okay to cry unto the Lord, but let's do it with faith in his word. And sometimes when your hands are heavy, you know, call him for help. And others who may discern the heaviness too, should step in for help. Praise the Lord. Now that's our lesson today. And I'm going to throw it out for share. Some people would have wanted to share yesterday in a powerful room, but we cut it brief because of the prophetic scroll room we had to go to. So I'm going to throw it up now in a bit for more shares and opportunities to do that. But first, let me pray to end the lesson. Father, we thank you, Lord, that the word of God has come to us again, and you've thrown more light to it. We receive this light and this understanding. We go in the strength of this meat, even as the angel said to Elijah, go in the strength of this meat. We pray, O Lord, like the psalmist said in Psalm 18 and 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and the Lord heard me out of his holy temple. These distresses, Lord, that have been upon your people, that they have been crying unto the Lord. We come together, praying together yesterday and today to say, Lord, thank you for answering the prayers. I thank the Lord over all the prayers, powerful prayers that went forth yesterday. I know that the Lord said, while the word was still in their mouth, I have done it. Wait and see the salvation of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. And while you are waiting, wait in the corridor of praise. Don't try to take matters into your hands. Trust the Lord, you know, and he will establish the desires of your heart. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.